Welcome to Forum of Passion, and normally this would be where I would drop an episode number or say, welcome to the Patreon edition, but today we're doing something that's a little special. Call this a preview to what being on the Patreon would be like. This is not one of those things where we took an old Patreon episode and unlocked it and put it on the main feed. I've seen other podcasts do that. I know friends' podcasts have done that. We can always make time to give stuff out, like to make new episodes here. We don't need to necessarily do that. But an opportunity came along to showcase something that I'm a part of, the guest is a part of, and right before it kind of drops or occurs. And I thought this would be kind of a good way to showcase what our Patreon format is kind of like for free. So if you enjoy this episode of diving deep on something specific and that kind of veers away a little bit more away from like what our regular interview format is for the mainline feed, then please subscribe to the Patreon for more content that is similar to this. And that's going to be at www.patreon.com/forumofpassion. And for an additional $2 a month, you're going to get another episode on the last Friday of each month. That is usually something that is going to be like this episode. It's talking about something specific. Perhaps you're talking about a record. Perhaps you're talking about a couple records. Maybe we're talking about a label. We're talking about a fest that happens, a lot. Or we're talking about a specific show or group of shows or a tour. So today's episode is highlighting a festival and a person that is the promoter for the festival. We have on Mr. James Aloisio of many different things. He is a agent manager. He'll probably have to clarify some of his aspects there for me, but as well as a member of Ends of Sanity and previous band Detriment. And the main reason we're talking with James today is his promotion of Overcome Fest occurring this weekend. That is going to be 4/19 and 4/20 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and Greensboro, North Carolina, respectively. And we're gonna dive in on what he does and mainly about the festival. James, how you doing, sir?
Oh, great, man. Thank you for having me. That was a extremely lengthy intro. Is that all off the dome? That was impressive.
All off the dome, dude.
It's amazing.
If there's one thing I can do, it's talk.
So, I was like, do you have notes or something? That was a lot.
Nah. I was thinking about stuff earlier, today, what have you. So I was like, okay, like what all are we, going to dive in on here? James, I think I met you time ago when you were doing Detriment, and I believe you were still living on Long Island. Mm-hmm. I think that sounds about right. Currently, I know you to do Ends of Sanity. Are you in any other projects other than that?
Nope, just that. That's the only one.
And Ends of Sanity has been doing great. You're doing quite a lot of things. While you're here, what other than the festival this weekend, which we'll get into, what do you guys have planned that you can talk about coming up?
This Is Hardcore just got announced.
That's right.
We're not formally announcing it until later in the month, later next month, but I'll say it early because it doesn't really matter. But we're going to do like a Northeast and Canadian tour with Bayway and Hold My Own.
That was sick. That's a good lineup for y'all to be on. That's cool.
Yeah. Just, days bands all doing similar stuff, similar size. New England Metal Fest, that's announced.
That's going to be awesome.
Furnace Fest, which I don't know when that's announcing us being on.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that they were still announcing bands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. So you guys got busy year. Glorious.
Yeah, a busy part-time year for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you're used to dealing with people that are like out there, like all the time and stuff. And so you're like, give me kind of the lay of your land in regards to kind of like your work in the field of like management and like in like agency. Are you like a full-time manager or are you both like kind of help me and the listener sort of parse that?
Mm-hmm. I was booking agent from 2017 to like right when shows really first started coming back is when I completely cut ties. And not in like a bad way at all with being a booking agent at State of Mind. Oh, yes. It was just, it just got to a point where like I was doing management and booking, and but I was only booking like two or three bands, and everyone else I was just managing. So it got to a point where I was like, I need to let these bands. I think I had like Judiciary, Vomit Forth, and someone else were the only bands I was booking. And I was like, you guys need to have someone who is just a booking agent and is can give you more of their time. But yeah, so no more booking agent. Now it's just 100% management 24/7.
Okay. And who all do you manage currently?
Hoyo, Drain, Sang with Sudobog, Creeping Death, 200 Stab Wounds, a band called Alluvial Chamber, Head Automatica, Pond Stone. I feel like I'm always forgetting one or two. I'm like looking around my office to see any like knickknacks that would remind me. Did I say Creeping Death? Them?
I don't think you said Creeping Death.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hefty list, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that normal? Like, you know, to kind of like have one person managing all those acts, or is this something that's kind of like you're going kind of above and beyond by comparison to other managers?
I'd say it is, depending on like, you know, the size. Like my bosses, who they're not my bosses in the sense that they employ me, but they run the company that I work under, and like I pay into the company. But a few of them, like one of them who does like Cannibal Corpse and Whitechapel and Lorna Shore, his name's Steve. Mm-hmm. He's a fucking legend. He's got like 20. Whereas okay. The other guys who do like Killswitch Engage only have like 4 or 5.
That's what I'm used to hearing more. So that's why I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know your list was that long. So I wanted to see if that was kind of normal.
Yeah. And whereas like booking agents will have like 50 to 60. Oh,
they'll have a ton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like, I know with management, it gets like the scope gets smaller because you've got to focus more on who you've got. So just mm-hmm. curious. But the you know, that gives kind of everybody a context of like what you do. You're very involved behind the scenes and, you know, with Insanity and like in kind of like on the battlefield, so to speak. So that all being said, you know, this gives you kind of a good acumen in regards to fest building and promotion, because I find that the people that have generally been the best at that are the people that have a good hand, not just on the stage, but almost maybe even a better hand off the stage, you know, for that kind of stuff. How, this is like Overcome's second year, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
How did Overcome come to be? How did it start?
Basically, Dylan, who you know, mm-hmm. was kind of like talking about doing a festival, and I had heard and I had wanted to do one, but it was like not something I really wanted to take on alone. And he was in no other terms, pretty much like, I'm ready to like blow my savings account on a big show. Sure. And like, I heard that through the grapevine, and I called him and I was like, hey, let's do this together. I'll help you build a brand. I'll help, you know, get the bands. I'll give you everything I know and I can, and let's do it together. And he was like, cool. And that's pretty much how it went. I mean, he was doing like his own shows and I was doing my own shows, but my shows were like very few and far between. And it was mainly just for like either bands I worked with or bands that were close friends of mine, just in like the Winston and Greensboro area. And that's the short story of how it came
together. And Dylan, by comparison, he mainly like works in like what, like Raleigh, Charlotte, or just Raleigh?
Yeah, I'd say like mainly Raleigh, but like sometimes I will even, it's like someone will hit me up and I'll just kind of like connect them with Dylan. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of was this serendipitous thing of like kind of starting to just do stuff together. And now that Overcome is a thing, like we'll do Overcome Presents type shows, but I really want to focus my energy into just doing like a once a year type thing. You know what I mean?
Certainly. Yeah. Cause it is, you know, when you're doing stuff year round and then you got to focus on the big one, it kind of becomes a lot to take on is what I found. So I totally get that. So last year went great. I want to say last year was like Madball Pain of Truth, and it was a one day event last year, correct?
Yeah. We had All at War too.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was good.
Was that in Winston proper? Or was that in Greensboro?
That was Greensboro.
Okay, that was, yeah. Was same venue or a different one?
Same venue.
Okay, so Hangar. Let me pull this up here because like this is what's interesting about the venue for this. I have like somehow never been there, and that's really surprising to me because I know it's like been around for a while, and I've played North Carolina a billion times. But we got like the main day, because this year it's 2 days at Hangar 1819. But before we kind of get into the main one, let's get into the Friday, like the 2 day festival. I won't call this a pre-show. I'll just call it the shorter day. But this is going to be Friday at Anchor Coffee in Winston-Salem. And let's just go tell me about the stuff from bottom to top. Cause like, I'm familiar with most of this, but some of the stuff I'm not. Opening up on that day, you have Almost Heaven. What's the story on that band?
So two members of Ends of Sanity are in that band. So Ian, who plays guitar, singing in that band. Cam, who plays bass, is playing guitar in that band. Jeremy, who played drums for us and recorded all of our shit, plays drums in the band. I don't know if I'm forgetting a member. I think a dude from Invoke is in the band as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so it's their first show, and it was very much just like I wanted to give them a good first show. They're my friends, and people are stoked about the demo.
First show is a great cheat code because it's like, you know, people are always excited about a first show, especially people that are like been around, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
So what's Almost Heaven like? Like, what's the style?
It's I think it sounds a little bit like all of the bands. Like it sounds like a little bit like Invoke, a little bit like Insanity, a little bit like Eyes Wide Shut, a little bit like A Knife in the Dark.
Okay.
So it's a little all over the place, but it's cool. It's definitely like a North Carolina type sound. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's like heavier in aspects is what I'm imagining. I'm gonna check it out after this for sure.
Yeah, totally. It's a straight edge thing as well.
Oh, but shout out. Well, okay.
They're not a straight edge band, but Ian is straight edge. And from what I understand, like some of the songs are about being straight edge.
Okay. So it's like, what's the comparison? It's like the One King Down comparison where only the singer was vegan straight edge, but then like, I think everybody else was straight edge, but the drummer was neither.
Is there something that fucks it up?
But he still was like, nah, I want to write songs about this. So, next up we got Sun Touch House. What is that band? I'm not familiar with that one either.
That was a Dylan thing. The way that we kind of did it is like, it was definitely like collaborative, but there was definitely like certain things that he was like, I definitely want to get this band on. To be honest, I sound like a shithead right now, but I'm pretty sure they're a Days band. I'm not 1,000% positive, but I'm pretty sure they are. You know, the interesting thing about the Friday show was it was like, as you know, doing shows and doing United Blood, like everyone hits you up when they know that, you know, it's like the first year is cool because no one knew it was coming. So I was a bit quietly able to just like build what I wanted, and it came together very naturally. And it's a good problem to have, but when you have all of your friends hitting you up about, hey, we want to play this. I mean, again, it's a great feeling that people want to be part of it, but we just couldn't fit everybody into one day. So I was like, let's just do a second day.
Yeah.
At a smaller spot with less overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep it local, you know, Advent, they're from here. So we don't have to, you know, pay a headliner with flights and all that kind of stuff 2 days in a row. So we tried to just kind of do like a little bit of everything in that regard.
Gotcha. So it's like, you know, I mean, I'm looking at this and it's like, I see local, like, or like near local, you know, A Knife in the Dark, Riot Stairs. They're from South Carolina though.
Yeah.
Right, South Carolina. Yeah. So close by. But there is like, and then Advent who we'll get to, but then like, you know, I know Exit Strategy is Florida.
Yeah.
And then the World, yeah, Josh White's band. And then the World is from Massachusetts.
Yeah. So like, and again, that goes back to like Maddie and I we're tight. We talk all the time. And, you know, I think it's really dope when anyone is just like, yo, I want to be part of this. So anyone that like reached out, I tried my best if they were like, I want to be part of this. And it was like, okay, cool. Like,
that's really chill of you. Yeah. Good game, dude. Yeah.
And so that's why the world's on there. And because they're a dope band. And Josh, I actually have running the stage again.
I did see that in the advance. We got Josh. I just saw him recently. He was out here in California with Death Before Dishonor. So
yeah,
that's all
not that he's long. The best. He gave me my first job as a booking agent. So
yeah, because he's a State of Mind still. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
And Riot Stairs is a Days band, aren't they?
Yeah.
The thing is like the reason that I don't think of them as such is because sonically, like Days kind of has a bit of a sound. Yes, there are bands that deviate for sure, but Riot Stairs is not what I would, if I were to like, someone just showed them to me and be like, you think this is a Days band? I'd be like, no.
Sonically, it sounds like a Rev band, like Orange.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Type, for certain.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then we have, you know, capping this whole gig off, Advent. Now, Advent is an interesting band because it is something that, like, at one point in time, I feel like the scene at large, nationwide, international, maybe didn't know as much about. But I feel like right now, between like Furnace Fest, this, and like sort of this like resurgence of maybe like things that are kind of influenced by that sound, I feel like Advent is like a very topical and appropriate band to play shows right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like with like kind of like metalcore in a way, like being, you know, a thing currently, you know, this band was a North Carolina 2000 staple.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from the Winston-Salem area, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So, correct me. Did they go on to be, did anybody in that, like, did they share members of something different or?
So they formed from the ashes of Beloved.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was Beloved first, and then they stopped doing Beloved for almost 20 years. And they came back with Furnace Fest, I think like 2 years ago. And then Advent happened.
Okay. And they haven't played, I mean, like, did they play Furnace Fest last year?
I think they played the last 2 years.
Okay. That is like a prime event for them. So that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So when was the last time they played North Carolina?
I think it was, I did a show for them in an abandoned airplane hangar like 2 years ago.
Where was that at?
In Winston. But the cops shut it down and they didn't get to play. So we found another abandoned like warehouse thing and we threw it there for them like the next week or something like that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So we got them back proper in, you know, I imagine a place that is not the same size as a airplane hangar. So
it's pretty small. Koyo's been here. They sold it out. It was dope. We had a record release show here. Beautiful. It was dope. It's going to be a sight to see them in a coffee shop.
It will rocking. That's going to be sick.
It'll be nuts.
That will be sick for sure. So that's the Friday. And then we move now for those traveling in and, you know, we both encourage anybody that's within whoever knows how many hour radius of this to come through. If you're in Virginia or North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, hell, Tennessee, what have you, you know, make the trek. It'll be worth the trip for the weekend. But for kind of like logistics, you know, we got Winston-Salem on Friday and then the Saturday shows in Greensboro. About how far away are those from one another?
From one downtown to the other, like maybe 30 minutes.
There you go. So we're right there, y'all. It's not like, you know, two completely separate places. Saturday, very stacked. Opening up on Saturday, 2 o'clock at the Hangar 1819 in Greensboro. We've got One by One. Oikor, from my memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. like another band playing, like, you know, conservative military image, probably pairs well with something like that. if you're a fan of that. Is this Donovan's band?
Yep.
Thought so. Mr. Marlowe. Okay. No, that's cool. I like that demo a lot that came out. They'll be sick. This day as well. Let's see. I mean, I'm gonna go out of order here a little bit. We got y'all at, primed in the middle. That Ends of Sanity representing North Carolina. Are most of the guys in Ends of Sanity kind of from that side of the state, or North Carolina is a different state to me in regards to hardcore, because I feel like people would be like all over the place and in a band.
Yes. I talked about that very recently because for a minute, Ian lives here now in Winston. He kind of moved back here because the band was doing more shit, but he was in Wilmington, so he was 4 hours away. Like, imagine being in the Northeast and like having a band that's Delaware to Long Island, that's nuts.
So places where people do that, that's always tripped me up. Because it doesn't happen in Virginia. No one does that. The closest I've really seen is I think there's been some people that have done DC, Richmond, and with traffic, that's kind of shitty. But by the way, the crow flies, it's really not that far away from one another. Northeast, nobody does that.
Yeah.
But Midwest, people will travel ridiculous distances for a band practice.
Texas
too. Texas is a big one. Midwest, Texas. And then I remember ages ago meeting T Streets when Misery was popping, and he's like, "Oh, I'm in Downpressor too." And I was like, "Isn't that 4 hours away from you?" Because he's in San Diego, and Downpressor in 805. And he was like, "Oh yeah, I just take the bus there." And I was like, "You take the fucking bus to band practice, bro?"
I was gonna mention California as well. I know Sammy used to go from Santa Cruz to LA for a certain.
Oh ride. Yeah. Well, he moved back to San Pedro for a little. Yeah. And, that's, bro, I mean, 5, hours, away. It's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, which there's a guy in MAD who lives in New York. So, he's in Combust as well, who's also playing. So got them. Great. They're killing it right now. So that's going to rock. Bayway, another,
420 on
420. Oh, at 420. That's correct. Damn, double 420.
Yeah.
At 420 on 420. Okay. Good for them. They've really done well with capitalizing on the smokable imagery.
It had to be done.
I like the meta of that. Bayway, Eyes Wide Shut, who I've played with. I played with them in Raleigh. They're from that area, or are they from someplace different?
Yeah, they're from Raleigh.
Okay, I thought so. They were sick.
Raleigh and then Rocky Mount as well, but mainly Raleigh.
Mainly there. Gotcha. It's what you expect from a Dace band, for sure. It's heavy, it's hard. That'll rock. And then we got Shattered Realm. It's the lineup it's been since coming back with Joe. What's interesting about Shattered Realm is I booked a show recently that was it was kids bands. I would say half the room was probably under 20, for sure. And somebody covered Shattered Realm, and sometimes I'm like, oh, are kids down with that? And it popped off real hard, so it's like, okay, they know. Whereas I feel like a few years ago that may not have been the case, so yeah. It's like they're kind of having a like that sound and that style is having a bit of a renaissance.
Yeah.
We
need that. We need people to do their homework with these types of things.
I mean, that's a whole other so it is such an interesting who I've been hearing multiple instances, and I don't even necessarily fault kids for this, because unlike when you and I were coming up, and I've talked about this on here at some point, I'm sure, because I talk about it a lot off the podcast as well. It's like when you and I were younger, in order to find out about like things in hardcore and stuff, you had to like find blog spots or Mediafire links or like blogs, like otherwise, or like SoulSeek or LimeWire, whatever. You had to like go do the research, read books and stuff like that. Now it's like, you know, it's just like all on your phone. And it's like so easy to just like find new stuff. So you're like inundated with just so much new music every Friday, like new music drops every Friday. So I feel like if you're like a kid, you're like, your incentive to go backwards is probably less just by design, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I was a kid, I'd be like, I don't know, like 5 LPs drop every Friday. Like, you know, it's like, that's like a lot of music for me to take in anyway. Now, but you're asking me to go, cause it's the equivalent of like being like, let's think about it right now. Say you were into like Motley Crue in 1985. And someone was like, yo dog, you know, you should check out this cat Elvis. Cause that's the equivalent of going back. Like,
I have so much Elvis memorabilia in here.
I mean, that rocks. I'm down. Yeah. But like, you know, I feel like if you're listening to something current, and someone's like, yo, check out this band from the 80s. If you're some kid that was born like after 9/11, you're like, yo, you want me to listen to something from the 80s, bro? Like, I don't, like, what do you mean? You know?
It's wild. I know it's kind of arbitrary, but it is wild to me. Sometimes I'll find a band who I used to have to go to like YouTube or pop in a CD to listen to. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think all the breakdown discography is on Spotify. No.
It's only, yeah. Dude, it's like weird records. Not like weird records, but it's like I blacklisted isn't on there. I want to say maybe the demos aren't on there.
That's yeah.
Oh, no. I'm tripping. The demos are on there. Blacklisted is not. That's like the main one that's not on there.
Mm-hmm. But I was, where I was going with that is like, sometimes I was saying it's arbitrary, but it's so strange to me. You'll go to Spotify for someone like them, and it's like 1,000, 3,000 plays. And I'm just like, this is fucking nuts.
Oh, like, it's crazy.
I understand that it's a lot of those came, like, even though it was in the 80s, it came onto DSPs like in recent years. But mm-hmm. It's just very interesting because I thought the coolest thing in the world, like, I felt like I had like a superpower when I found out like Killswitch Engage had Aftershock before Killswitch Engage, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that became Killswitch and Shadowsfall. Like, I was like, this is the coolest shit in the fucking world. Or Prayer for Cleansing before Between the Bear and
Between
Me.
Between the Bear and Me, yep.
I wonder if the younger generation cares beyond wearing like a cool t-shirt. You know,
you posit a good point, because what you're talking about finding the like, the deep cut connected to the quote unquote main thing always was like, oh, you're like, y'all don't know about this. And I know about it. And I always felt like really sick about that. And, like when I was like, you just brought up Killswitch. It even happened to me recently within the past few years. I found out about the side band they did, Seamless, and that band's awesome. And I was like, oh,
for what you're into, it makes sense that you love that.
100%. Dude, somebody hit up the Mad page and was like, are you influenced by Seamless? And I was like, I don't know what that is. And they were like, oh, it's like this side project that Killswitch did. And I put it on and I was like, well, I wasn't before, but I am now. Like, you know, it rocks.
I think someone from Unearth was also in that band.
That would make complete sense.
Yeah, that was when Jesse was completely not in Killswitch mode at all.
Mm-hmm. That would make complete sense that somebody in Unearth was like it. It's like, for those that are listening that don't know about Seamless, it's like it's got like a lot of rock and roll feel to it. It like, I don't know.
COC.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm about to say it's COC, but from like a... Okay, it's COC from if it was played by people that played metalcore in the 2000s. It's not a metalcore band at all, but it's like through the lens of people that did play that, because it's got mosh parts. Not every song, but some do. I would actually love to talk to somebody in that at some point to kind of find, like, figure out, like, yo, what was kind of the precipice for this? because there's not really a ton to compare it to from the, but not at the time, because they started doing the kind of the rock thing later. I was going to say Every Time I Die or something, but
no. You know Priestess?
No, I don't know Priestess. What's up with that?
It's like a guitar hero band. Like it was like a, I feel like there was like a small movement and like the Sword kind of, you know, but not.
Oh, dude. Yes.
Yeah.
That was happening at the time. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The era of like bands like the Sword and like Clutch had been a band for a long time, but like, I feel like High on Fire.
Yeah. Red Fang.
Too. Red Fang. Like that stuff during this time period, or maybe Seamless might've been like, probably right around the same time as that. But like that, like kind of like stoner rock, but not stoner rock stuff that was happening. Cool band though. But to what you're talking about, that is like how I felt about when I found them. And I think one of the reasons for me is that like later on, like in life, I got like really into Japanese hardcore kind of because it was like, oh, if you want to find out about this, you have to research. It's not just like right there, like all like not all the Burning Spirits bands are like on like Spotify and stuff like that. So for a younger kid though, I don't know. I mean, you are a manager of like very big bands right now, very popular bands. And I feel like if you're a young kid experiencing that world, you see it firsthand. I feel like they're like, kids are just so excited about like what's in front of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword, I feel like. Anyway, back to what we're rocking with here. We've got, we talked about Shadow Realm, conservative military image on an extreme heater right now. Not an oi band. It's it's like a straightforward hardcore band that like has like, I guess, sort of oi influence, I guess. But you know, they're killing it, and sharing members with Suburban Scum, a current singer, Austin Sparkman, is in CMI as well. Any video of Sub Scum playing right now looks nuts. Which is interesting to me because when I saw they were coming back with Austin, I was like, well, young kids won't remember this because they weren't like around for it or whatever. But I guess they did their enough homework for that, mm-hmm. because, you know, like the kids definitely are showing out for that as well.
Yeah. They probably saw the United Blood fucking drum camp.
Yeah, dude, that was a fucking set. 2014, I want to say. Yeah, that went in for sure.
Is that the Hatebreed year?
That was the Hatebreed year.
That was my first United Blood.
That's a good first one. That's probably my practical favorite. I have a personal favorite and then a practical favorite. Practical favorite was that Hatebreed year, because I remember the Great 100 Demon set. Hatebreed was crazy. Like Wrong Side play that year, and I like Wrong Side a lot. Like that was a really good one.
Took a Chinatown bus from New York City.
Hell yeah, dude. Damn, I'm that, you bring me back, dude. Taking the Chinatown bus, New York. I used to do that shit all the time.
For a fucking hard picture.
Well, I remember what I would used to do reverse is I would do that for Black and Blue. I'd go on a bus by myself because it's right around my birthday. So I'd go like, okay, I'm gonna go to Black and Blue, like solo, and chill at that. I think I saw Hatebreed that same year at Black and Blue. It was the one that was outside. It was also super sick. But yeah, good time. That Sub Scum video, that was from that year. I am like 90% certain. And then, you know, we've got Koyo, who you're closely associated with, also smashing it over the, you know, I mean, last, it's interesting, last like 3 years, I remember seeing them like fall of 2021, and now it's 2024, and they're like, you know, like biggest thing out. And I remember seeing some fall 2021, and they're playing like 60 people maybe. So they're killing it. Yeah. There's no, well, Sal told me, he goes, yeah, I think I saw, he was like doing like a Reign of Salvation weekend with like Pain of Truth or something. And he was like, yeah, like Koyo, like we're about to like really put the pedal to the metal on this. And I was like, okay. I was like, cool. And then lo and behold, like I think a month later, they announced some like big tour or something, like the rest is history. And then we got North Carolina's own Magnitude, who I saw in the Bay recently, and they just so consistent, just smashed. Yeah. So that'll rock, like, you know, and it's also cool to like have like a North Carolina band on this that's like that, you know, that's like doing kind of so much out there right now. And I think you did a really good job of like putting the flavor of the state on this. Headlining, we've got Incendiary. And now they don't play as much these days. What was the last time that you remember Incendiary coming through?
They said Breastfest. And
damn, so that had to be ages ago.
About 10 years.
They have not played North Carolina in 10 years.
Yeah, between 10 or 12.
I mean, still, y'all, if you're listening to this and you're in the area, you need to go, you know.
And I want to say, too, like, that's one of the things that I think is cool about, I mean, you could even say this about Richmond, too. Like, we don't always get everything.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You know? So, like when All at War played, it was, like, their first show in North Carolina in 20 fucking years.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, that's for real. They hadn't played North Carolina in 20 years.
That's what they said.
That is crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Because what we'll end up having on a lot of tour routings is it's either going to hit Richmond and like skip North Carolina, or it hits Baltimore and then skips VA and then it does North Carolina. It like shifts or whatever on like a lot of like tour routes. Yeah. So it's like, you know, like, and the thing is, like, and not every band tours the same route like more than once a year. Most don't. So it's like, if you don't see somebody on 1 year, then you're probably not gonna, unless you travel, you probably won't see them for a couple of years being in certain places. So
also, I don't know if you were about to move on from the lineup, but I don't think we talked about Den Dreaming or your band playing.
No, we're about to. I'm gonna get into it. I'm getting ahead in everybody. Okay. So we do have Virginia's own, Dead and Dreaming, first show since, they had done one show post lockdown and it was a memorial for a friend that passed. And it was sort of like a, I feel like, and those guys might correct me, but like, it's kind of like an unspoken, maybe like last gig. They had not played for a long time before that show. Like not even including lockdown time period. I can't remember the last time they had played before that either. So this has been years in the making for sure. No idea when the last time they played North Carolina was. It was probably ages ago. Also a band that like legitimately, you know, my band shares members with them. They do not like, they've really not left the area. I think they've played three states, maybe four, in the entire time they've been a band. And that was, it would be like Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina. And I imagine there had to be some type of Baltimore time in there somewhere, but that's it, y'all. So, you know, and like, also they're a wily bunch, some of them. So getting them together is not the easiest. So if you have the opportunity to go and see the spectacle that is this band, take it, because who knows when it's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And we share members. We share a guitarist. So my band, Mutual Assured Destruction, shares guitarist is Dead and Dreaming. And if you like Dead and Dreaming, actually, he wrote a fair amount of the 7-inch we just released last Friday. So if you're familiar with D&D, you like that sound, essentially, if you just want to hear D&D but with like clean singing over it, then you listen to the Hexer 7-inch, because I basically told him, I was like, I love Dead and Dreaming, write that, but I'll just sing over it. So that's kind of how that came to be. Because he's like, he hasn't been in he's only been in the band since like last year. Dude, I mean, what a cool band. There's not really a lot. I can't tell you other bands, if you're listening and you're not familiar with Dead and Dreaming, I can't tell you other bands that they sound like. It's it's like metallic hardcore, but not from a standpoint of like, it's not like, you know, you're hearing a lot of like hammer-ons going on and stuff like that with the guitars. They did share a guitarist with Down to Nothing, but that guitarist, I'm not really sure. I don't think he like wrote anything in Down to Nothing. I think he was just like played for them when they were a band. So, you know, it's an entity that is rare, you know, and a band that is really, really sick. If you really want to see what D&D is about, you just look up any United Blood set of Dead and Dreaming, and that'll give you a good idea about what it's all about.
They were the, like, I know it sounds strange because they're not a headliner, but like, I was like, I want to get something that people in the South will appreciate and don't like. I remember when we first announced it, I didn't really see a whole lot of people like talking about Dead and Dreaming, and it kind of started to trickle in. But like, I think they're such a special band. I love that you just said that they've only played like three states their whole existence.
Because their whole existence.
I think that's what makes them so cool. And my hope is that maybe doing something like this, they'll get A, put onto new people, but B, they'll be like, we should do more. You know what I mean?
I will give a little bit of behind baseball. I think you have already started the ball rolling on that. Maybe. Because I think they're like, Jordy talked to me and he was like, hey, he was like, we kind of want to try to do some more. Now, this band, you know, I would say hope for it if you're listening, but I wouldn't say necessarily bank on it. Only reason being is that multiple people in that band have kids now. And they're like pretty like committed fathers. But you know, you never know. They're the kind of band. And this is the kind of special type of band, hardcore to me. They're the kind of band where you're like, if you get them on the right day, which is kind of what happened with this, if you get them on the right day, they'll say yes to something. And, you know, I was the conduit for them here.
Yes,
and
you made it happen.
I was like, hey, Jordy, MAD got asked to do this. Would you be down? And then I think at first he was like, nah. And then maybe within 24 hours, he was like, wait, yeah, we'll do it. Like, you know, so it's like,
it was so like old school in the sense of like, I've never met him. Oh. And he was just like, I asked him to play and he was just like, can I call you? And I was like, fuck yeah.
Dude,
like,
Jordy's younger than me. I think maybe like a year or two, but he's still like his vibe is more old head.
No, it was awesome. We got to know each other, talking about having kids and playing hardcore music. And like, I mean, I wasn't taking no for an answer. I was like, dude, he was telling me, he was like, I'm shocked. He's like, but I think we can. And I was like, I'm fucking stoked.
That's it right there. Cause the fact, I think he was just as surprised as anybody else. Yeah. He was like, oh shit, they're saying yes. Okay. Cool. We'll do it.
You know, dude, like I'll say like, for you and Ryan and everybody else involved that did United Blood, like for the kids that missed out, like it was a really, really important and special festival and just weekend for hardcore. And it introduced a lot of people, introduced a lot of bands. I mean, it was perfectly ran. It felt like a hardcore festival, you know what I mean? And so my hope was that, like, I'm not sitting here saying I think, I mean, who knows? I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't think it will be that. But my point is, for the people that missed out on that, I was like, you know, this will be the next best thing, I hope. Because I know how you do. I know how the people from Virginia do. They're going to put on for their friends' bands.
Oh, and, for sure. That's the set I'm looking forward to the most that day. So, you know, more, even more than that.
People and kids.
Yeah.
People be like, oh, well, that dude just clotheslined someone, so this band must be dope.
Yeah, they're a crazy special entity. And, you know, I hope, I do a little deeper on that band in a way. I like, they didn't get as cool as they were. And if you knew about them, you thought they were super sick. They did not get the shine that they rightfully deserved during the time period that they were a band. Like a super active band. So it's like, I hope that kids see them at the event and are like, this is crazy. Like, you know, and I hope, you know, people spread the word about them or whatever, because I think they do deserve someone to hit them up and be like, hey, like, at minimum, be like, do you guys want to do like a discography release or something like that? Like, you know, like get it out there more. Because I think they only ever had like one vinyl release, and it was a 7-inch that Edgewood did. But like, that wasn't even their most popular stuff. Like their stuff was like also like a little hard to find. Like, I think like a lot of their they have some earlier sick songs that are like only on Bandcamp. Like there's a song called Deadline, Matty B, who used to live in North Carolina, was recorded singing on, and like, it was to the point where he sounded so cool too, that there was a minute where I was like, oh, they should have two singers. Both these guys sound so cool or whatever. Anyway.
You just sparked the memory, and I don't want to go too far off topic, but you said Bandcamp, talk about Virginia bands. There's a band that, one of the dudes in your band, or was in your band, used to be in, and I would go to their Bandcamp like once a week. It was Clean Singing.
Holy Land?
What was it before Holy Land?
Spirit Animal.
What's the record with like the pyramid, the sand?
They were called Real for a very short time period. So they were called, so two people, MAD started out as I wanted it to be a continuation of that band. Because I thought Holy Land was so sick. The record you're talking about, it's not a pyramid. It's a sand dune.
Yes,
where it's like,
yes.
It's like shadow on one side. So Eric, who's in Combust and right, MAD, yes. He was in Spirit Animal. And this guy, Tyler Wall, who wrote a lot of the Spirit Animal stuff, what was in it. Both those guys were in MAD. Tyler has since left MAD like beginning of last year. And got replaced by Jordy from Dead and Dreaming. They were like a 6 feet under band. I think their main influence was like War Hungry on the early stuff. Like Justice is on a track. I sang a little bit of something on a track. But the problem is their name was Spirit Animal and they got sued. So they had to change it, and they changed it to Real for a very short time period. And then we're like, ah, never mind. And they changed their name again to Holy Land. And I think all the name changes hurt them too.
But dude, those songs were fucking awesome.
So Real is still on Spotify, but it's difficult to find. You kind of have to like type in a weird combination of words to find it. But the Holy Land second release, never hit streaming. It was only on Bandcamp, and that's easier to find, oddly. But yeah, sick band. A band that I think if they came out today would do like crazy. Like how I describe that band to some people is like they were doing some stuff that Turnstile would end up doing later, but like weren't doing at the time. And some people probably roll their eyes at that, but I'm like, no, if you go listen and look at the year it came out, it will be like surprising.
It was like 2014.
Yeah. Where it's like, they're very musical. They're like a super musical group. That band had a really interesting existence in general. Breakaway played Rainfest one time, and it was just me that flew out, and then like the rest of Breakaway for that show was just that band. So like I was like pretty closely associated with those dudes. One of them, Ian Hurdle, went on to do like, he does like Turnstiles like music videos and stuff now. He was a drummer of that band. Yeah, I don't think he plays in anything now. He was in that band Diamond Youth for a little. I think he's like an LA dude now. I doubt he will hear this, but if you do hear this, Ian, shout out to you. That was a sick one. That's another Bandcamp special. It's kind of what we're talking about earlier. I love finding like the shit that's like, oh, it's only on Bandcamp. There's another VA band that I like called Heathens that you can only listen to on Bandcamp. But the problem is when they set the Bandcamp up, they set it to like you can only listen to a song a certain number of times. And then you have to like buy the whole thing. There's one song on this LP that I really like that I always listen to a bunch, and it's like, okay, you got to pay for it now. And I'm like, I don't want to buy just the song.
Detriment's last release is a Bandcamp only.
It's just a Bandcamp only, dude. Fuck. That's kind of surprising for Detriment.
Yeah. Well, this was before, dude, you got to remember, this is when it was on Spotify. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's right. How did you do that? Yeah. And like, you had to be be on a label. Essentially, was the only way to like really, damn, you're right about that. When was the last Detriment release?
2017.
Yeah. 17. I feel like, and I'm probably a little wrong here, but I feel like that was right at the precipice of like, if you were not tapped it, I wouldn't have known how to put something on Spotify in 2017.
No, because our last one before was only on Spotify because we had a label.
There you go. Like, you know, it was like, so 2017, I wouldn't know how to do it. I was on React then, and they did all that stuff. I think I put something on Spotify myself for the first time this year. And previously I had not, had it not been through the website that Triple B does their royalty stuff through, I probably wouldn't have figured it out. Like, even still, I'm like, I don't know how to do all that. Like,
they've made it a lot easier.
For sure. Now, once I did it, I was like, oh, this isn't so bad. Like, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
But that caps us off for the main day on Saturday. And this is gonna be coming out on the 17th, latest 18th. So if you're listening to this and you're able to make it, come through. It'll be a good time. There's still some tickets. But you know, get there early, watch all this stuff, and you know, have a good time. James, is there anything you wanna leave the listenership with or talk more about before we sign out here?
No, I just wanted to thank you for giving me a spot to chat about it. Encourage people to come. It means a lot.
For sure, bro. For sure. And I'll see you this weekend. Everyone, if you like this episode, you like this format, you want more discussions of things like this in your life, subscribe to the Form of Passion Patreon at www.patreon.com/formofpassion. And until next time, stay safe.